This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, it is all happening on Monday, April the 18th, 2022. You had to say a great game would be an understatement between Boston and Brooklyn yesterday afternoon. Great game. Yankees, a disastrous weekend in Baltimore. Mets, very workmanlike. Great starting pitching. That's what they are. Alonso with another couple of RBIs. And there's so much going on. NBA postseason rolling on in. Rangers now tying for first. Islanders, say it with me, eliminated from postseason contention. Sadly, the passing of one of the greats in the history of the game, Mike Bossy, happened after we signed off on Friday. Before we get to any of it, we say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. I listened to your show on Saturday morning. Sounded great.
Really?
I didn't care for the fact that he didn't know who coached the Celtics. That bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, but I think that's a fair mistake.
But that's not your fault, though. Yeah, I mean, you got a lot going on. I mean, I'm getting text messages during Stump Rothenberg. How does Dave know all this stuff? Like, my
really?
Hockey buddies. Oh, yeah, I'm like, he's a savant. I get it. They're like, no, this is incredible. So everyone's waxing poetic. So you're doing your job. I mean, I talk about just the machine gunning tweets. Tie with the NBA playoff tweets. The guy loves to talk. He can't just, you know, dip in. Hey,
jump in my ear and be like, it's not Stevens anymore.
Yeah, like just for a quick sec, even if he wants to jump on and say it. Hey, Dave, I know you got a lot going on. By the way, Brad Stevens doesn't coach them anymore.
Right. You know what's funny is I got it. Like, I was so locked in that Brad Stevens was the head coach. I got a tweet from a guy finally saying, like, Stevens is not the head coach. And I was like, what a fool this guy is. I'm like, Stevens isn't the head coach. And then I was like, wait a minute. He's not. That's right. And then, of course, it's Udoka, and he gets the win yesterday. But, yeah, listen, even greatness has moments of lack of clarity, and that's what I had during the Saturday show. But why do you have to point that right out?
Well, no, because you rectified, because I was going to try to do you a solid, because, I mean, me and you are best friends. I'm listening like I always listen. So I'm like, you know what, I'll text them. And I'm like, no, I mean, he's got Jake and Ty. I mean, Ty can't wait to talk. Ty, I mean, he'll just tell Dave in his ear. He'll get on the microphone and just say, hey, Dave, you know, you're wrong. But no. And you wonder why the poll, the comment box, all that stuff doesn't happen.
Because he's so focused on his on-air.
That's it.
Yeah. But if he's so focused on his on-air, then why not, when you have a moment that you could just jump in to clarify a wrong made by me, why not do it?
I think the moment was too big for him.
Really?
I think it was too big for him. I think he writes his stuff down. So now all of a sudden, on the fly, you know?
Really?
He's going to make stuff up? Yeah, it's troubling. Really.
Wow. Well,
not as troubling as Damer, I'll tell you that. I got a couple problems on Monday morning.
Damer is,
he's relentless, this dude. Relentless.
But not only is he relentless, he's foolish.
No,
is the word I would use to think of.
It's not even, he is, I mean, first of all, he is, I mean, he's good at what he does. I'll say that, because it does, like, it infuriates me as I'm listening to it. But he's right now a Yankee apologist is what he is.
Well,
clear as day.
There's zero chance that he could apologize for the Yankees after yesterday.
Well, no, you should have heard him. So I'm listening. After I got done waiting in line for like an hour and 40 minutes for bread,
we'll go back to that later.
On Saturday, which was great. So I'm listening to Gordon, and he does an unbelievable job, right? Like, he's setting up, going into break, what he wants to talk about, and then
did he know who coached the Celtics?
Knew. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Then decides he's going to take a shot at his good buddies Dave and Rick. Because this is now what his focus is now. So he starts with, everyone that's, you know, fabricating stuff about the Yankees. If they wanted to criticize the Yankees, there's something just sitting right in front of their faces that they've all missed. And I'm like, damn, Gordon, that's a good tease. I'm going to stick around and see what it is. Thinking it's going to be this great nugget that me and you missed? Because I think we've been fair, right? Do you
want to know
what the nugget was?
It's gonna
with everything
awful.
Going on. With everything
it's
going on
awful.
With the Yankees. Miguel Andujar.
What does that mean?
That was the nugget.
They didn't
capitalize on his rookie season and get rid of him. Now he's got no worth. He doesn't play.
We said that about all of them.
That was the nugget. I was like, really?
That's the nugget?
We said that
about all of them. They should have done it with every single one of these guys. They've held on to them for too long.
I was like, come on, man. Think of everything happening right now with the Yankees. You're going to go to Miguel Andujar as the thing we should criticize them about?
Problem. That's why they lost 2 out of 3 against the Orioles this weekend, because of Andujar.
That's why they got shut out yesterday and wasted one of the best pitching performances you'll see from Nasty Nestor. Immaculate inning.
Not only is he great, even if you don't, because I don't like the Yankees, but how could you not like him?
Well, you have to like him.
You have to like him.
I don't think you have a choice but to like him.
No, he is phenomenal. We'll get to the Yankees. We will get to the Mets. We'll get to the Rangers, the Islanders. We'll get to all of you probably, because you're a lunatic. You probably watched the USFL this weekend, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, of course you did.
Santy's boy, Jason Garrett, he's getting himself in trouble already.
What did he do?
He put, I think it was, Santy, correct me if I'm wrong, it was Pereira doing the game with him, right, Mike Pereira?
That sounds right.
And he puts him on the spot. He's like, there was a call that should have been made. And usually how they set it up, right? It's like, you know, we're going to go to Mike Pereira. What did you think? He's like, I don't know, Mike. That's a call they probably should have made, huh? And then it was silence. Like, Pereira just didn't say anything.
Well, why did he do that to him? Or why did he not respond?
Well, because I think he put him in a rough spot. Like, he doesn't want to credit. Like, I think it's better to set it up where he's kind of like giving you like how he sees the play as opposed to like telling you, like, you know what I mean? Like, a direct shot at the officiating crew.
So it's a booth of three? Because it's Garrett, it's Pereira, and it's a play-by-play guy?
Well, yeah, I think they go to Pereira for the rule stuff, yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. So how was the football? Was it awful?
I was all right.
It was okay?
Yeah, but it's just not the NFL. That's the problem. It's not the NFL.
No, well, nothing is. Well, we are closing. Oh, by the way, and we'll get to the Nets and the Celtics in just a moment. Did the whipped cream go out?
Whipped cream did not go out.
No,
don't say that. Everything was set up, but because we had Passover on Friday and we had Easter on Sunday, my main man, you know, gave me the, hey, just so you know, if you send it today, it's not going to get there till Tuesday, potentially Wednesday. If you send it Monday, you're looking at probably Tuesday.
So the plan's gone.
So wait a second. If you send it Friday, it gets there Wednesday. If you send it Monday, it gets there Tuesday?
Yeah, because we're all cleared up. No holidays. He said, come in Monday. I said,
How is that even humanly possible? If you send it later, it gets there earlier?
Well, I guess it wouldn't go out, though, because of the holiday and stuff. And I can't fly it. I got to drive it. I upped it to, it's not 8, I went 12.
12, nice.
Trying to find a box is a problem, but I commandeered a box. I did get the, at Sop and Shop, I did get the, again, the...
When you say commandeered, I think like someone was pushing a box through like Sop and Shop. And you're like, excuse me, sir?
Here's
my badge, my whipped cream badge. I'm going to need that box.
It's a unique box. It's kind of, it's tall. This cooler I had to buy is a little taller so I can fit the 12 in.
So is it ready to go?
Oh, yeah, it's all ready to go. I got to drop it off, yeah.
Okay.
I got as I was self-checking out the, it's a lot of whipped cream. You having a party? I'm not having a party.
The person behind you?
No, it was the person. No, because they have the one person that works there that's kind of overlooking the self-checkout in case the machine, you know what I mean? Someone doesn't do it right, or you don't, God forbid, you don't put the item in the bagging station right away. And all hell breaks loose.
So what I don't understand is, why do they have that one person there overseeing the self-checkout? Why doesn't that person just open up a line?
Well, because that one person's going to jump in, and then they got to press a little thing, and then you can continue to, just to make sure no one's cheating the system.
I will tell you this honestly, and I don't think it's because I'm old. I hate that self-checkout.
I can't stand it. Despise it.
Because it never works properly.
No, never works properly. Now you start sprinkling produce. That's a problem. It's just too much.
Yeah. At CVS, I'll attempt to use it, and it's always a problem. It's like someone will be right with you, and then there's no one there. There's no one here.
I'll tell you who else I tip, too. Someone bags your groceries, you're getting a tip.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'll tip anybody.
I go in for a full panty shop, and someone's helping me bag. Oh, you're getting a tip.
I did a quick fill-in great shopping on Saturday morning. Oh, phenomenal.
So you went show, then you went grocery shopping?
I went show immediately after the show, shopping immediately after the shopping, walk of the dogs.
You've come a long way. I'm going to say it. I'm proud of you.
Walk of the dogs.
By the
Alex,
way, too.
As we're going on this walk of the neighborhood, Alex has given me play-by-play of the Mets and the Diamondbacks. Yep. Did it all.
Okay. After we go 8:02-ish, I'm saying today, 8:02-ish or during the break, whenever you'd like, I'd like you to share the name of the person that chastised you at the dinner on Friday. Because I got a real problem with him.
I got yelled at. And I stand by.
This guy, a tough guy all of a sudden.
We're at this. You want the story now?
No, save the story. But it aggravated me on Saturday because I heard it. Does this animal not realize this is your job?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you later. I'll give you the full story in the 6 o'clock hour. And you're on my side now. You'll be even more on my side when I tell you the story at, say, 6:30.
Hey,
even more on my side at 6:30.
Well, once I heard the time, too. I mean, what are these people doing now?
Oh, it was ridiculous. I was incensed. And it was a nice time, but I was incensed. All right, let's get to the game from yesterday. There's so many layers to unwrap here. Firstly, great game. Secondly, Kyrie being Kyrie. Thirdly, if Boston loses that game, and I don't know if you agree with this, it's hard for me to envision they win the series. Now you're the Nets. You're in a huge game too, and you don't have it till Wednesday night.
Yeah, which is a problem too, by the way. I mean, we're going Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. I mean,
it's
what are
ridiculous.
We doing?
Ridiculous.
Come on, man.
I mean, there's no travel, and I go from Sunday to Wednesday for game two?
Yeah. I mean, and if you're Kyrie, do you want to be in Boston that many days after what happened on Sunday? Yeah, because I was listening to a lot of people afterwards, too, like, oh, that's a real gut punch for the Nets. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess because they lost, but could you imagine if the Celtics found a way to lose that game?
Well, they did their best. I mean, they almost did. They were awful for the first, 9 minutes of that fourth quarter? Boston was brutal.
Well, yeah, in that fourth quarter, I mean, the Nets went on a 22-6 run. I mean, they're down 11, they end up up 5. Then late in that game, Kyrie hits that 3. And listen, for the most part, the Nets' defense was better than we've seen it in the regular season. Like they were clearly more locked in, which is great.
But it was not good.
No. The last two possessions for the Celtics, primarily the first one, where Jaylen Brown just walks down, just runs
awful.
Down and lays it up. I get you don't want to foul. Don't give up. At least make him earn it.
No,
a little bit.
He went right in. You bring up a good point. From the moment Kyrie hit that shot, which was what, like 48 seconds, something like
45.
That? 45 seconds, Brooklyn was awful. They were terrible. They allow them to come down, lay that ball in, cut it to one. Then they have an offensive possession, which
not
I thought
great,
was dreadful.
Awful possession.
Was dreadful, and then they give up the layup at the buzzer. For those final 45 seconds, I mean, to lose that game in regulation, leading by 3, is a brutal loss.
Yeah, it's a brutal loss. But again, I mean, if you're the Nets, I would say that, you know, your takeaway from this game is obviously Kyrie is just phenomenal. I mean, 18 points in the fourth, he's unbelievable. But KD offensively wasn't great. He didn't shoot well at all, right? So he'll be better. And you still only lost by a point. Like there's it's negative because you lost, but there are some things that happened in the game you can say to yourself, well, he'll be better, this guy will be better, which would lead you to believe that moving forward, no, you can bounce back from this one.
Maybe. I mean, I think game two becomes just a monster game. Because do you really think they're going to, I guess they could because they're that talented, that they're going to win 4 out of 5?
The Nets?
Yeah.
Well, no, but here's the thing. You're supposed to, I'll say this. Game ones of series, when you're on the road, are usually the one that is the most stealable for the road team. So game two, they're going to have their hands full. I mean, that goes without saying. But, I mean, you look at Durant, 9 for 24, had 23 points, but still didn't shoot well at all. 1 of 5 from 3. Bruce Brown did not have a good game. He had 5 points. And Seth Curry only gave you 9. So, I mean, those... you know for a fact KD's going to play better. You know
you
for a fact that's going to happen. And those other guys have to find a way to contribute. Dragic had a good game. I thought he played well. KD defensively was pretty good.
They were very physical with him. Like,
oh, they have
you
to
saw
be.
Their game plan coming into that series. We're going to hammer this guy.
Yeah, the refs let it go, which, I mean, as a fan, I like. But that game was, yeah, that was old school physical. Marcus Smart is, he's
I like him. I
he's
mean,
built
Marcus
for
Smart
basketball.
Is, if he's on your team, you love that guy.
Yeah, you love that guy. What a heads up play, too. I mean, that last possession for the Celtics, for Marcus Smart to have that kind of poise, to pump the shot and then make that pass to Jason Tatum, and then you had, I mean, Durant, Dragic, and Kyrie just ball watching. and then Tatum to have the presence of mind to spin off and lay it in. But that game was incredible, man. It really was.
Did you like the fact that Udoka did not call a timeout late stages?
I mean, I did.
You like it now, but at the time, were you like, wait a minute, get a timeout, or you say, like, just go?
No, I say just go in that moment, especially because, I mean, Brooklyn's defense isn't good anyway, but they're probably a little bit better if you give them a chance to set it up in the half court.
Right.
But that was a crazy possession, man. That possession was all over the place.
Yeah, it was all over the place, and I mean, it was a perfect ending to it. And I mean, you couldn't have scripted it better. So they get out with a 1-point win.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take a listen. Here is Kevin Durant on the loss in game one yesterday.
They still sting, you know, even though we know it's a series and they sting and you want to move past it. But, you know, it's going to be good to look at the game and see where we can get better. And we understand this is a series and we got another opportunity to come in here and get a W on their home floor. So we got to try to, you know, move past this one and still look at film from this one, but move past it and get ready for game two.
Yep. Game one, very rough loss for Brooklyn. Here is Jason Tatum on that game-winning shot at the buzzer.
I wasn't sure if they would have put some more time on the clock. I knew I got it before the buzzer went, but the first thing that came to my mind was how much time they're going to have left. That just happened so fast. But we'll take it. It was crazy. You know, everybody was on their feet. We just got a big stop. It doesn't get any better than that, bro. A buzzer beater playoff game at home in front of our fans. Yeah, that's probably the loudest I've heard it as well.
That was something else, huh? That whole game was just phenomenal yesterday, wasn't it?
It was an amazing game. It really was. I mean, that lived up to all the hype, all the expectations.
And that's only game one.
Well, yeah, because you got the backstory with Kyrie going back to Boston. You could see the vitriol. If you're wondering what they were saying, you found out after the game during the post game where Kyrie decided to tell you exactly what they said to him. I was like, why can't I hear Kyrie? And then they come back, and then he drops another F-bomb. I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, because you got to
cost you a couple
blurt them out.
Well, you had the bird, then you had the behind the head double birds, and then you had the swearing in the post game. See, I'll say this though, because I think part of what you said is true. Had he just, you know, after the game, said, you know, this is what it's going to be, you know, whatever about the Boston fans, and just kept it to that. That's great. But for me, I mean, for him to engage the fans. Because every athlete likes to pretend like, oh yeah, I don't hear what they're saying. Of course,
it's only going to be worse in game two. No,
well, dude, I'm telling you what, the guy answered the bell, man. Guy answered the bell.
Well, he's great.
I give him tons of credit for that because there's a lot of guys. I mean, that would take that on and then would crumble under that kind of pressure.
You think Ben Simmons gets that kind of reception? And he goes out there and gives you 39?
No chance.
No, absolutely.
But if Boston's smart, that's exactly what they'll do to Ben Simmons too.
Of course they will if he returns in this series. But I guess my question, we'll hear from Kyrie in just a moment on what went on. Why are you responding like that?
Well, maybe he uses it, man. Some guys do stuff like that. Like some guys embrace
that. What, as motivation?
And they use it for motivation. I'm going to shut these people up. I mean, apparently it's not. I mean, I guess we don't. He told us we don't catch it. I don't know how that's possible because I watch every Nets game. But this is something that he does a lot.
It's like Waldo. It's like, when is Kyrie giving the bird to the fans? I mean, he had that really nice one where he went the double bird right behind the head.
Well, he was doing the birds. Then he had the fake crying. Like, he was fully engaged.
It's like masterpiece theater with him last night.
But he was awesome, man. He had 18 in the fourth.
He was awesome. He is awesome.
8-0 run.
I mean, that's why they deal with this guy. You think if he was some mediocre player, they would deal with all the baggage that he brings? He's awesome.
How about Kyrie saying, though, that he just said, let's put this behind us. You can throw some, why don't you throw some of the highlights of me in Boston up on the Jumbotron?
Yeah. They are not putting this behind. They detest that guy.
They can't stand him. Yeah, they can't stand him.
I think a lot of people can't stand him.
I think he rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
And don't you think if he says nothing and does nothing in postgame, it's like, what happened? It's like they I mean, it's just constant with them cursing and awful things they say to me, that he would be for once a sympathetic figure?
Yeah, I don't know if sympathetic. I mean, I think it's just I expected him to be treated like that. Now, some of the stuff they were saying is just over the line, and it's nasty.
Well, it's over the line, but you can't respond like that.
Well, listen, you can respond if you're going to go drop 39.
Well, that, isn't that your response, you. Though? That's your response.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're good enough where you can give it back and still go out and destroy them on the court or the ice or the field or whatever it is, more power to you.
Yeah, and he's able to do that. You don't need to do this extra little step. All right, here is Kyrie, a little back and forth about exchanges with the fans from yesterday.
It's nothing new when I come into this building, what it's going to be like, but it's the same energy they have for me, and I'm going to have the same energy for them. And it's not every fan. I don't want to attack every fan, every Boston fan, but when people start yelling, and you and all this stuff, it's but so much you can take as a competitor. You know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. Nah, that's the playoffs. This is what it is. You know, I know what to expect in here, and it's the same energy I'm giving back to them.
From a basketball standpoint,
yeah,
you feel like the hostility you get.
There's no hostility, bro. It's basketball.
Well, you were flicking some people off. I'd say that's some hostility.
From what? What point? Are you guessing that that's hostility? Or like, well, hostility for me is like growing up.
Well, we've never seen that from you this season where you are running down the floor flicking people off.
It's the first time you actually caught it because it's a big time game. I respond in different ways. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to focus on that. If you want to ask me questions about the fans, go ask them. Go on the street and ask them questions. All right?
But I'm asking from your perspective, from basketball perspective, do you feel like the hostility that you get?
It's not hostility,
fans,
bro.
Do you feel like the energy you get from fans in this building brings
embrace
out
it.
The best from you?
Embrace it. Embrace it. It's the dark side. Embrace it.
He always says things that make you shake your head wondering why is he going down this path.
Well, it's just a waste of energy is what it is. I mean, that's what I would tell him. I mean, it's just a way. Don't waste your energy. I mean, the only way you affect them, you giving the finger or anything else, that's not doing anything to them. You going out and do what you did, 39 points, and had you won the game, that's how you get back at them.
That's it's all like, you have to do.
It's like you tell your kids all the time, right? Like when you know, Milo's busting Ella's chops, I'm like, if you keep reacting to it, he's going to keep doing it.
Of course. Of course. That's the story of my house. I'm like, Alex, stop responding when he does the stuff he does. He can't help it. He can't not do it. But you know what? He's 11. Ella's how old?
Ella's 5.
Exactly. All right, this is a grown man who's supposed to be above this. And I understand it angers him, but you answered the way you answered. You had a great game. You don't need to be flipping people off during the game.
See, I don't mind that. I don't. Because he responded with the 39 and was unbelievable in that game. Especially in the fourth quarter. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is you're Kyrie Irving. It's like the same problem I have with Aaron sometimes. It's like, you know everything you do is going to be scrutinized. Like, you're at that level. So, I mean, anything Kyrie did on the court back in Boston was going to be talked about and asked about after the game. Like, to go into that press conference, which he clearly didn't want to, like, he's like, it still amazes me that we have to answer questions right now, but that's part of the business. Okay, yeah, that is part of the business, Kyrie. Like, what made you think that after giving the bird twice to fans, doing the cry thing and everything, that they weren't going to ask you about it?
Of course you're going to be asked about that. And you should be asked about that. Do you know what happens if we are discussing this today and Nick Friedell doesn't ask those questions? You're like, why do they even send a reporter there?
And that would piss me off if I was Nick Friedell, too, because he's had a lot of, he covers a lot of the net stuff to say, well, you've never seen it. Well, yeah, Nick Friedell's at almost all the games. What are you talking about? He never sees it.
Have you seen it? I haven't seen it. Well,
I haven't seen the figures, no.
But he didn't say, like, I give the double bird all the time. He was like, I answer in my own ways all the time. So maybe, like, under his breath, he's saying stuff. Who knows with this guy?
Well, they all do. I mean, KD does this. KD will talk back to the crowd, too. I've seen him do that. But the whole notion that you're going to go into that post-game press conference and not be asked about it is crazy.
Here is Steve Nash on Kyrie and the crowd after the game yesterday.
This is a guy that's made the game-winning shot in the finals. played in the Olympics, he's played an All-Star game, All-Star game MVP. You know, I don't know that there's any atmospheres that are really going to rattle him. That was kind of my point before the game. You know, that's not it. If he has an off night, he has an off night. I don't think the crowd is a factor for Kyrie. The guy's done about all you can do in the game.
I agree with that. There's not a crowd out there that is going to rattle him. He wasn't rattled yesterday. Maybe he responded incorrectly. Maybe you don't think so. Who knows? But he wasn't rattled, that's for sure.
No, he wasn't rattled. It was the complete opposite. Like, he used that as fuel. Which, good for him, because I wouldn't... That would not be the tack that I would take.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he is a sensational, sensational player.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Are you unwell?
No, I just had a cough, and I could feel it coming on, and I was like, I can get through it, I can get through it, and then I couldn't.
And you couldn't get through it.
DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full details. Gambling problem, call 877.
And there it is.
Look at you just waiting with the microphone up. Well, you knew it was coming because you knew it was going to happen.
Well, what do you mean? I didn't know the microphone is up.
The microphones are never up unless you told them, keep me up. Rick's going to choke out on a read here.
Ray, did I say keep me up so I can react like that?
See, you didn't even hear the whole reaction because he started giggling like a schoolgirl. I didn't get the mic up fast enough for that part, but just in time for the, there it is.
Wait. I said put my mic
no,
up.
No.
But
my mind immediately went to, oh, I'm going to put this up, you know. It brought value to it, and I think I still believe that. I think it did.
Well, I'm not saying it didn't bring value, but that was not at my request.
DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full details. Sabotaged.
Who sabotaged you?
Santiago. Because Santiago, producing the show, wanted some extra content. He heard me choking on it. He's like, I'm going to put Dave's mic up. Because the expectation is if you screw up a read like that, you're going to get... DraftKings.com/sportsbook.
Right here, he starts giggling.
For full details.
Yeah, I did.
Gambling problem, call 877.
I absolutely did.
There's a full 3 seconds there.
But
I
didn't know my microphone was up. I thought it was down. So I figure I can make fun of you. You're lucky I didn't curse.
You wouldn't have cursed.
Oh, I could have. I thought about it.
You wouldn't have.
My best Kyrie. I could have just broken right into it right there.
And you would have given me double birds while you did it?
Double bird. I did. You weren't looking at the Zoom?
I never see it, like Kyrie, I guess.
Yeah,
like Nick Friedell.
I guess so. All right, 1-800-919-3776. That was a treat, though. That was good. What happened?
I started to choke. I thought I could get through it. I could feel the tickle like halfway through, and I'm like, oh, no.
And this is your own fault, by the way.
This is not my own fault.
Oh, absolutely. Because if you hadn't started the precedent where if we screw up, we bring immediate attention to it, I would have said nothing. Nothing.
Well, this is what happens when you get the fancy headset now. As soon as I'm in one, I got to stay in one because I can't. The microphone's right next to my face.
But don't you have a cough button?
No.
Well, maybe you should get a cough button.
I definitely need a cough button.
Yeah, because then you could have pressed the cough button, coughed a little bit, gone back right into the read, and away you go.
Skis. Yeah, but there's no fun in that, though. It's actually better than
.com/sport.
It's like we're walking the trapeze without a netting below us.
And I like it.
Let's get a little look at the traffic.
That's
sound like Mad Dog Russo.
That's my favorite one.
Let's get a little look at the traffic. Look at the traffic.
That's so good.
If you're not worried. That I was making fun of RJ. I don't want to hear anything about that. All right, let's hear from Kyrie. More great sound from the Net star point guard. Here he is on those crazy Boston fans.
Where I'm from, you know, I'm used to all these antics and people being close nearby. You know, it's nothing new when I come into this building, what it's going to be like, but it's the same energy they have for me, and I'm going to have the same energy for them. And it's not every fan. I don't want to attack every fan, every Boston fan, but when people start yelling, and f*** you and all this stuff, there's but so much you can take as a competitor. You know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. Nah, f*** that's the playoffs. This is what it is. I know what to expect in here, and it's the same energy I'm giving back to them. It is what it is. I'm not really focused on it. It's fun. Where I'm from, I've dealt with so much. So coming in here, you relish it as a competitor. And this isn't my first time in TD Garden. So what you guys saw and what you guys think is as entertainment, or the fans think is entertainment, all is fair in competition. Somebody's going to call me me out of my name, I'm going to look at them straight in the eye and see if they really bout it.
What does that mean, if they really bout it?
If they want some of that smoke.
You think that the people are scared of him because he's giving them the birds back?
No, not giving the birds back, but like, are you one of those people that'll say something, and when someone, you know, makes eye contact and engages you, you pretend like you didn't say it, or are you up for the challenge? Like, we'll
go
back and
forth.
I think
most of the fans, I mean, because you know, you have the built-in that it's not going to become violent, right? You know that you're not going to have to fight the guy. So, yeah, I think most of the fans would look him right in the eye and say whatever they said and look him in the face and do it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And if you thought yesterday was bad, wait till we eventually get to game two on Wednesday. It'll be much worse, I think.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right, unless they take the opposite, where they're like, oh, maybe we got them motivated. Let's do the opposite.
There's no way they're going to do that.
No, there's no chance.
There's absolutely no way that they're going to do that. By the way, did you see the video? It's phenomenal. There's a really cute girl, like probably teenage kids, and a boy who looks like all game long, all he wants to do is hug this girl. And he seemed hesitant to do it. But when they go in and get the game-winning shot, he's like, here's my chance. And he goes in full embrace.
Yeah, there's the moment.
Yep. Good for him.
So he's the real winner because, he waited the entire time.
He gets his team to win, and he gets the hug that he's been waiting for all game long.
He'll never forget this game, ever.
Absolutely. All right, I mean, phones are all lit up. What do you say we get to some of these calls?
I think we have to.
I think we should. You want to call for anything
before
we
do that? Calls!
No, I'll incorporate the cough into the show if I have to.
Great, live coughing. That's terrific. Maybe we get Robitussin or Vicks as a sponsor during the show.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath.
Neither will I. D-Rock in Brooklyn. Good morning, D-Rock.
Good morning, gentlemen. Glad to hear that you guys could have fun at work. It makes the show more enjoyable. And try some Dayquil. That's normally what I use when I got a little something, when I got to go to work and work with a cold or something like that. But let's talk about these Nets. I was shocked at the ending. And then I got frustrated because here's the one play that you guys haven't touched on yet. It looked like Kyrie and KD were arguing about who's catching the rebound for the free throw at the dunker spot. So KD moved Kyrie. Then it looked like they got pissed at each other. So Kyrie goes to inbound the ball, and there's nobody there. Kyrie's yelling, and then he has to throw the ball inbound. I forget who stole it, but they dunked.
Marcus Smart.
There we go. That's the possession where we lost. And I was pissed. I said, that's where we lost the game. So I'm glad to see that these guys actually fought and came back. Unfortunately, we go home with the loss. I'm not mad at Kyrie, though. I'm going to defend him here. Reggie Miller, he flipped Spike Lee, the choke sign, told him to choke on his privates. Trae Young last season in the playoffs flipped the bird or did whatever he did to the Knicks fans there. I'm glad Kyrie is taking this on. I just want him to completely own it. When he's arguing with Nick Friedell about, oh, it's not animosity or whatever he said, completely own it, Kyrie. We know what it is. We know they don't like you. We know you don't like them. Own it. Show up on the court like you did yesterday. We got to play on Wednesday. We got to play on Saturday. This is a weird schedule, like you guys mentioned. But completely own it. Just take it out on them. Play good basketball, and we'll win this series. I had the Celtics winning that game yesterday. I thought it would be a blowout, but I'm glad that we kept it close. But I still have the Nets winning this in six. Just show up. KD had a very off night. I don't expect that to happen game two. The role players just got to do what they do. You know, maybe Bruce Brown shows up this time.
They're going to be better. D-Rock, they have to be better.
Yeah, he got
to
be better.
Seth Curry didn't have a point in the second half.
No, he was bad. He was bad. And thanks for the phone call. I will say this, that game. Now, once Brooklyn took the lead, you thought they can close this out. And they take a 1-0 lead on the road, steal that game. That'd be phenomenal. Going into that game yesterday, I really felt like Boston needed to win that game.
Well, especially especially with how the whole game unfolded, though.
Right,
too.
You had a comfortable lead for the majority of the game.
Yeah, I mean, and then, I mean, having Kevin Durant shoot the way that he shot, right? Like, that's, you can't afford to lose a game where KD doesn't shoot well. But, I mean, I get the possession he's talking about, but still, I mean...
I mean, come on, listen, it was awful.
There are other things you can look at, right?
That was not like final moments of the game.
I thought the Jaylen Brown 2-for-1, you can't let him score that quickly. I thought that was a problem. I mean, you got dominated on
Your last offensive possession was brutal.
It was brutal. You got dominated on the boards. The Celtics had 14 offensive rebounds. 14.
What were the Nets, like minus 14 on the glass yesterday?
The Celtics took 11 more shots than the Nets last night. 11
yeah,
more.
And then
you got beat up in the paint.
Kyrie was great, and beyond that, I don't know that anybody else was all that good. And you still only almost stole that
well,
game.
Well, then you had the first quarter. You had seven turnovers in the first quarter. Then you come out of half. You didn't come out of the half ready at all. Boston came out of the half. So, I mean, that you'd have to fix that. That has to be improved. And then just the late game execution, because I agree with you. I know you feel good with Kyrie with the ball in his hand, and then it ends up KD taking the shot, but that was an awful possession.
Awful possession. D in Queens. D, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Why are you shocked about Kyrie's behavior? He's a condescending, narcissistic lunatic.
I don't think anybody is shocked by Kyrie's behavior. No one.
Okay, then. Okay. And as for the Nets, this is their best shot. I hope you understand that. They shot 50% for the field, and they still lost. I mean, I said they're going to lose in the first round for a reason. They play as much as Kyrie is good on offense, he stinks on defense. Marcus Smart was looking at him like food on offense, blowing right past him.
But, D, let's be fair. Let's be fair. And this has been your agenda all year long, and I like you, and I think you're a good caller. You detest the Nets.
Oh, yeah, because the league doesn't. First of all, the second half of the game, let's just talk about the refereeing, where they were allowing the Nets to foul. Like, even announcers were saying, oh, that's an offensive foul. Oh, that's an offensive foul. They were allowing the Nets to foul, and that's how they got back in the game. Let's call it what it is. And the schedule? Yeah, that's the schedule about Ben Simmons. Let's call it what it is. When it comes to the league, whether it comes to all you pundits, you want the Nets to advance, and you want to invalidate James Harden. So you want Philly to lose in the first round.
No, I completely disagree with that. I completely disagree with that. It's actually better. It's actually probably better for the show if they don't come out of the first round. As far as the conversation, I mean, now you're talking about how big a disappointment this season was.
What, for our show?
Yeah, just for sports talk radio. I mean,
yeah, I think it
drives sports talk radio.
And you say the NBA wants Brooklyn to advance. It's not like Boston is Sacramento, and you're anti-Boston moving on. Boston's a major market with star players.
But I think that's part of it, though, too, on both sides, is to make sure, I mean, these guys have enough rest where, you're getting their best.
I need 2 days off, though, between games?
No, I don't disagree with you at all. Like, if this is going to be the schedule, just go, forget, East and West, just go 1 through 16 then, if we're going to have this much time in between
games. You could play the Lakers and have 2 days off, and you wouldn't think twice about that.
No, that's what I mean, and you're flying private everywhere. Come on.
And now you have no travel, and you have 2 days off?
Hey, you go back to Brooklyn if you wanted.
Well, I wonder if they did.
No, I heard they were staying. Someone said yesterday they were staying, but I would go back.
Absolutely could. I mean, you could be home last night, sleep in your own bed, do it 2 nights, drive up on Wednesday morning.
No, you wouldn't drive up day of game. What you would do is you'd go home right after that game. You'd fly home, sleep in your own bed. You go Monday, Tuesday, and then leave Tuesday
night,
Tuesday afternoon. That way, you get to Boston, have dinner, and then get a good sleep.
But it's close. I mean, that is not a far trip.
No, I mean it's a 3.5-hour drive. 4-hour drive.
Yeah. No.
I do it all the time.
Very easy drive. Let's go to Kevin in Connecticut. Kevin, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, I got a little different take. I'm a Knicks fan, a New York fan, a Yankee fan, hate Boston. And what Kyrie did last night, I think he's a nut job. But I'm a Kyrie fan now. I'm all in on Kyrie. Because I can imagine the things they said to him. He did the right thing. And as a black man, I'm like, oh, yeah. I can imagine. He used some code words. I'm like, okay. His manhood was being attacked. I'm all in for Kyrie.
But you don't think that happens all the time? And guys just sit there and endure it and realize that they probably shouldn't say anything and are quiet about it?
Oh, yeah. But the level that was given out by those Boston fans, that's a whole different level. They upped it. They were on steroids.
No,
he gave it back to steroids.
Kevin, you just don't see it. I mean, people were surprised because you don't normally see that. Like, unless you root for the Knicks or the Mets, and they give the thumbs down to their own fan base, which is ridiculous. But
you think it's all that different in other cities?
Have you seen what happens in Philly? Philadelphia fans. I was told a story, and it was, I forget what the team was, but. So everyone knows where you stay, and usually it's people that want autographs. Like, they'll wait outside. You come out to the bus, you sign the autographs, and then you go to the rink or the field or whatever. So it was an NFL team. It might have been the Bucks? I don't know what team it was. But they came out to their buses, and NFL teams travel with a bunch of buses. It wasn't Seekers. Like, there were Seekers there for autographs, but it was Eagles fans. They started rocking the bus. As the guys were on the bus, they're rocking
that's,
the bus.
That's what they do. They throw snowballs at the windows. They take bats and hit the bus. They do. I mean, they'll do anything.
Yeah, I mean, Philly, they're equal opportunity lenders in Philly, man.
You've heard stories about these SEC schools, and they'll pull the fire alarms in the middle of the night and get the guys up out of bed and out onto the street in their underwear. I mean, that's what they do.
That happened to me in Philly a couple times.
They pull the fire alarm?
No, they call your room.
And say what?
Just nothing. They would just call your room and
so
wake you up.
So they just call, wake up, hang up.
Hang up, yeah. Hey, Chris, it's Rick DPH. Son of a...
Like that kind of a call?
You guys are just. Let's attack Rick.
Was that, is that me also?
Hey, Don, how's it going? It's Rick DiPietro and your best buddy, Dave Rothenberg.
You know what? I think that's unfair. The last call you made was Gordon on Friday, and you did well.
I thought I was, except for the hesitation because I was going to swear, I thought I was all right.
Yeah, but it was like your drive to the basket, and then you hesitate, and then you go.
Yeah, and then I went.
I thought it was well done. I thought it was very well done. I'm going to stand by you. I'm going to defend you against Santiago, who's taking big shots right now.
I was going to say
Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're the worst. I was going to say nice things about them, too, today.
Really?
Yeah, I was driving in my car, and they had the the promo for our show, and RJ put together the you reading the letter about the guy that has my All-Star jerseys. And it was really well done, and I started laughing out loud.
I never heard that promo.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I have a like, big one.
I was like, Dave, just tell me you don't want it. You're like, yeah, I don't want it.
I mean, at least I'm honest.
No, too honest, but yeah, it was good.
I'm in my basement! Let's go to John in Montclair. John, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN. I'm in a good dark morning. Room!
Unlike Miller, they lost the game yesterday. Simple as that. The other thing is comment where he talks about where I was from. He makes $35 million a year. He's 30 years old. I just don't understand him. And he lost.
He did lose, but you never forget what you had to endure when you were growing up. I mean, Rick is 40 years old and remembers everything and still mentions it. So I don't think that – I mean, my take is that's not a fair thing to go after him for.
Well, I think his point was I've been around worse. Like, so what you like, what I'm being, you know, what people are yelling at me today is nothing to what I heard, you know, growing up.
And I'm sure that's probably true.
And he chose to engage them and listen, you don't normally see it. It's going to cost him some money, but the fact that he took
clearly
them on.
Clearly he doesn't care about that.
Well, no, obviously not. But the fact that he took them on and then performed the way he performed as a former athlete myself, I respect that because a lot of guys can't, if you decided in a game of that magnitude to take on that, and because you need all the energy you can get. You start wasting some energy on that kind of stuff, like a lot of guys would crumble under that. He did not.
You're right. He did not. I still think it's unnecessary, and you know as well as I that game two, it will be ratcheted up. What he saw in game one will be worse in game two.
Oh, yeah. Before the game, everywhere.
Because you have now put kerosene on that fire.
Yeah.
You have told them, you might not affect my play, but I hear everything you're saying.
Yeah, what do you think sports talk radio in Boston is today?
It must be wild.
Well, they'll spend hours and hours on that Kyrie stuff.
Of course, because they feel like they got in his head. Now, the thing is, they didn't affect his gameplay. His gameplay was sensational. But there's no denying, like, he heard them
yep.
every step of the way.
I mean, look what they did to Trae Young last year at the Garden.
That's what they do.
I know. So it's like, this isn't just, you know, Kyrie that's getting it.
You think we're any different here in New York?
No. I mean, you heard it. F Trae Young. I mean, that's, and he's another one that rose to the challenge.
Well, yeah, it's amazing that these guys have that done and they play their best.
Some guys are like that, man. Some guys need that.
It makes motivates it personal.
Well, it makes it personal.
Well, it was personal, but you're right. But I mean, this idea of, oh, can you believe that Boston fans would do that? You think Philly's any different? You think the Knicks fans are any different? You don't think that Jason Tatum's going to hear the same crap when he goes to Boston whenever they play a game three? I mean, this is what it is now.
You should have heard what the Rangers fans used to say to me.
Oh, Rangers and then fans are awful.
Then ask me to sign something.
I love that. You're the worst. We hope you tear your ACL. Hey, could you do me a favor and sign this pad for me?
How about what Sean Avery used to say to guys? Disgusting.
Oh, it was brutal.
They would do homework. Like your deepest, darkest, nasty thing he'd come out with. Like, you're like, how the hell did he know that?
Yeah. I've seen, like, there was this defensive lineman who would, like, study offensive linemen's, like, family and history and just,
yes,
just attack them during the game with it.
Avery was that.
Avery. Gives DiPietro a little shower. That's what Wisniewski took exception to.
Oh, that's when Wiz gave the, he got in trouble for that.
What did he do?
He did the hand gesture. Avery said something nasty to him, got him all riled up, and then Wiz did the, hand gesture like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I got in big trouble for that one.
Did he get fined?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You see it on TV. Like, the camera's on him when he does it. Watch it. Google it.
I will. I'm going to go to the Google.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.